Well, the reason we've got Jared here is I found out that he was an environmentalist, very strong credentials. He's on the board of directors of the Climate First Bank of St. Petersburg.
Yes, sir.
And also, he's on the national board of directors for the Nature Conservancy. And I thought, wow, that's fabulous. And he's lives right here in Tierra Verde, not far from this radio station. So.
That's right.
We're at the Craftsman House, but we don't have a station per se. But
no, but the station is getting a studio next year, which is exciting.
I like it better out with the community.
Yeah, it's nice. We're also on Facebook, on the Florida Folk Show 96.7 Facebook group. Stephanie said Merry Christmas. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing? Bark and Bernie's turning in. J. Cole, Bill Paris, Goody Haynes, Bonnie Fouts is tuning in, and Gary Harrell. Good morning, Gary. We miss you. But, yeah, and I guess Marty is on his way. He's apparently fine, just a torn muscle or something, so we'll see him soon.
All right, yep. Tell Jared, I wasn't planning to talk to you till later in the show, but, heck, why not?
Yeah, no problem.
Hopefully you'll stay the whole show and have a good time. You know?
Absolutely.
What is the Climate First Bank?
Well, it's a bank that's essentially focused on the climate crisis, whether you want to call it the climate crisis, basically what's going on in our backyard that you can't help but notice. And what I'm referring to is the heat. Obviously, that's changing. Sea level's rising. We have all type of beach erosion. Our estuaries are suffering, you know. You combine a natural disaster with a natural, you know, algae bloom, and obviously that's going to affect, you know, the areas that we live in. So we're at the forefront of what's going on in regards to our environment, and essentially Climate First Bank, you know, reflects that.
How does the bank connect up with all that?
They connect us through green loans and incentivizing the community basically to take the sustainable route. You know, here's what you can do. Here's your part that you can do as a citizen, you know, to help preserve and protect what we have.
Like someone would want to put the solar on their house.
You said someone want to put their soul into it?
I mean, solar.
If someone wanted to get, like, solar panels.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You'd help them by giving them the loan that they need and that sort of thing.
Correct. So solar, EV charging stations, affordable housing, and whatnot, but it's all the premises of it is, you know, sustainability and, you know, conserving and preserving what we actually have now. Also carbon credits also.
How far is the bank reach out?
The reach is global.
Really?
Yes. The reach is global. Same thing with TNC, and that's the Nature Conservancy, but the reach is global because there's everyone on multiple continents that we share the same issue.
So you'll be in touch with somebody far away that wants to connect up with the Climate Bank because do you give them better rates?
Well, I can't specifically speak to the rates, but what we can do, it's a community for change. It's a community for good, and that's what the focus is on. So you may have someone in, you know, Colorado or South America that their institutions don't have what we have, or they aren't taking the direction that we're taking. So we get a lot of outside support.
All right. Now, the Nature Conservancy, what are their did they put out an end-of-the-year report of any kind?
Yes, they do.
Yes, is it out there now?
It is out there, yep. And I will refer everyone to nature.org for that, and you can look it up, you know, specific to state, whichever state you're interested in, or you can look it up from the global side of things, because it is the largest global conservation group in the world.
What if a developer comes knocking on your door and wants to tear down a pristine forest, wants a loan to pay for that?
That's happening. That's currently happens, but that's why we're at the table. To try to get something done and try to find common ground together, because it's not just the developer's issue or our issue. It's we all share that issue, so we all should be in it together.
Well, just listening to you and Jerry talking before the show, and you're describing all this fishing that you guys are doing and pristine waters and all that sort of thing, just wonderful it was even more in the old days before they came in and did dredge and fills and tore down forests. We had a situation here with the Gladys Douglas property up in 44 acres that this woman was an environmentalist and a millionaire, and she wanted that property to be preserved when she died as a park. But the executor of her estate decided, well, you know, why don't I just sell it to Pulte Homes, the largest home builder in the country? And they were going to come in, what was it, 44 townhouses?
Oh, I think it was more than that.
It was 44 acres.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was more than a house per acre. Yeah. They wanted more dense
development. It was right on a lake that was owned by the South Florida Water Management District.
Yeah, Jerry Lake.
Yeah. And the fight happened, and it started going through. And Tim and I went out there one day. I called up the widower. She died, and he recognized my voice from the radio because he listens to the show. Bob, I hope you're out there, Bob. And he invited us out there because no one was supposed to go on the property, but we went out there, and Tim had his camera, and we took pictures of destruction that had been done just like a day or two before by a bulldozer that went through there for them to get soil samples.
Yeah, they ended up burying a bunch of gopher tortoise burrows and all sorts of...
All breaking all kinds of laws. And
several people reported
it to the Game Commission violation line. And next thing you know, they came in and told them, you can't come back in here until you get a gopher tortoise relocation permit. You got to find all the tortoises. You got to get a fine for every one of them that you killed during this thing. Yeah. It started adding up to hundreds of thousands of dollars before, and they just said, "Forget it. We're not going to do anything."
Yeah, and then the community came together and helped preserve the property.
The city of Dunedin and the county commission raised enough money,
and there was about $1 million from the state government as well, and private donations. So it was a really all forces coming together to preserve a
but for
piece
several
of
months. Several months, people were at the corner, a real busy corner. Where
Virginia and
was.
Keene, yeah.
And with signs and everything. It was a real grassroots thing. And finally,
hey, Tom, I didn't even notice you there.
Yeah. Tom's here, okay.
Hey, Tom. So, Pete, exactly what you just, you know, that story that you just told me, that's essentially what the Nature Conservancy is. We all get on one accord to go in and preserve, you know, try to preserve and protect land. And so we're stewards of the land. So we go in so that won't happen. Even if it's if the land is sold to a developer or there's an agreement that happens with that, we can go in and make sure they're not destroying the habitat. You know, like that's what the Nature Conservancy does ahead of time. So, that was a great example of the Nature Conservancy.
That's why people should donate two organizations like that, because you got to be big and you got to have some money to go up against people that have untoward ideas about filling up this planet with carbon and people and that they don't need. You know, I would assume, and the Nature Conservancy has a history of going after and going into lawsuits.
Absolutely, and you have to fight the good fight. And like I said, it's not just our duty; it's all of our duties, because there's something significant that's happening to our neighborhoods, our communities that's so, you know, near and dear to us. So that's essentially what the Nature Conservancy is about: is, you know, protecting vulnerable lands and keeping it for the people.
Do you think people now today are demonstrably more interested in these issues like climate and overpopulation and that sort of thing than they were, you know, 10 years ago when it first started coming up, and you had a president that was saying it was a hoax and all this kind of stuff, you know, but now it just seems like everywhere I go, or maybe I'm just going to the right places or something, I'm hearing people that I'm going to get an electric car, I'm going to get a hybrid, you know.
It's definitely more of a conversation nowadays, which I believe is a good thing. And I think that the boards that I sit on reflect that same, that you can't, you know, go to certain places or live, you know, say you appreciate wilderness or you live in the wild or you live on the water and not, you haven't taken notice of what's actually, you know, what's going on with the habitat and the environment if you spend enough time around it. So it's coming to the forefront. Like I said, obviously there's massive issues that you just cannot ignore, and they're natural, you know. And then you combine a small percentage of development in regards to what's happening between the water and, you know, more development. Not hard math, you know.
And then you have the unfortunate things like Piney Point.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Algae blooms.
Yeah, and that's natural.
And you're out there trying to fish.
Yeah, it's, you know, the fishing obviously is going to suffer, and the marine life is going to suffer, our seagrass is going to suffer, all that's going to suffer. But it's all hand in hand. You know, there's nothing we can do about natural disasters in regards to, you know, Piney Point. There's not much we can do on that front either, other than come to the table together and try and actually, you know, present a plan of action so that we all can coincide and still work together, because we all use the water for, you know, our livelihoods, whether that's recreational, whether it's personal, whether it's for business. You know, we all live off of it, so we all should take care of it.
What's a normal work day for you?
Oh, man. Well, I have my own logistics company, so I'm usually up between 5 and 6 a.m., maybe because I have to have, you know, calls that are overseas or whatnot. And then I have my daily call with my operation, then it's emails, and then I have a two-year-old son. He's up somewhere between the 8 and 9 o'clock hours, so I'll spend an hour with him in the morning. Then I'll get back to work, take a short lunch, try to get a workout in, and then phone calls, being a dad, cooking, because I love to cook, grocery shopping. I'm doing that every other day. But nothing really outside of the normal, other than, you know, I forgot to throw my fishing time in there. So
very good.
Well, yeah, but the thing that's out of the normal is that you're dealing almost all the time with environmental issues and things, you know, which I think that's fabulous. And you're in a community here in St. Pete where there's a lot of environmental organizations, regional offices for many of the national organizations right here in St. Pete. You've got the Coast Guard here. You've got USF that has all kinds of programs. And
Their marine sciences program has really taken off.
Yeah, that's, and Eckerd College also has a marine biology program. So I feel great about living in this area, because I think people do have an interest. I have solar panels on my house, and my wife has a hybrid Prius, yep. You know. And I can tell you right now, and I tell people all the time, and there's some kind of a hesitance. I say, you know, here's my power bill. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's $20, and everybody else is paying $300 or $400.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, in that really bad month we had recently, it was $54.
Yeah.
One of the highest ones I've ever had. And I said, this isn't a joke. I didn't make this up. But they don't go to the extra effort.
No, I totally get it. But it's a good conversation, right? For the most part, it's a healthy conversation that we all can have. And, you know, everyone is not going to, you know, do what we do or do what you know, you've done, but everyone can do something. And I think that's, you know, where we should focus on, and, you know, kind of where we should put our energy, is that, like, okay, like, let's at least try to do something. Like, here's what I did. Whatever you do, that's awesome. Like, just do it.